Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is May the 3rd, take two. Words of Grace podcast. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
There's something everyone needs to know, that after you preach on Sunday, the next day, there's kind of this post-preach fog that happens. And Scott's experiencing it in this room right now. And so we had to stop.
Yeah, about halfway through that.
About halfway through.
Take one, I just lost my train of thought. I was just stumbling all over myself. So sorry.
Scott was here, but he really wasn't
here. That's right. I was drifting. I'm sorry, Justin. I wasted your time.
Most people probably don't realize that, Scott, when they come to you after a sermon. So if you've gone to Scott and he looks like he has this glassy look over his eyes, because he needs to go take a nap.
Yes. If you ask me a hard question after the second service, I'm probably not going to answer it very well.
Yeah. Don't take what he has said post-second sermon very seriously.
Right. Yeah.
Well, great.
What is it? Trust but verify?
May want to take his answer and then go ask someone else.
That's right. Don't trust or verify.
Wait, yeah. Scott said this and... Oh, I'm sorry. He was...
All right. Yeah. Take two of the Words of Grace. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, we've been in a series on our podcast on dealing with differences.
Yeah.
And we're going to end it. This is going to be our last one. And
we're going to end our differences.
I don't know if we can end our differences.
Oh, don't we wish. Heaven.
We'll continue to talk about differences, but just not on our podcast.
Yeah.
For this season. Well, who knows? We may come back and talk about it 6 weeks from now. But one of the things that, for those, is just a reminder, we started this series because the book of Romans brought up this topic. And we felt like it's very important for our congregation in the time that we're in. We talked about that again, first podcast, go read, listen to it. Last week we kind of were in this discussion about how do we approach people who we have differences with? And you had four considerations. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't listen to that, I would really recommend go listening to that. That's really helpful as you think about approaching people in the congregation who you differ from.
Yeah.
Now, Scott, I want to move that conversation a little bit further.
Okay.
And I want us to look at what happens when we've approached and we know there's differences, and to think through some of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to start with one question,
okay,
which is about essentials and non-essentials.
Okay.
On Sunday, you preached on this. So this is maybe a sermon question in addition to what we'll talk about. But what if, after we think through this, we don't agree on the essentials?
Okay.
Because I think people could be listening to you preach on Sunday going, okay, I get that. We need to understand what's essential and non-essential. But what if we don't even agree
on the essentials?
On the essentials.
Well, that's a good question, because we've been talking about what if you don't agree on the non-essentials.
Right.
So we've been assuming, or at least hoping, that we agree together as a congregation on what is the essential teaching of the gospel in the scripture, and then so what does it mean to be a Christian, things like that, and then the kind of life, doctrine and practice, faith and practice, the kind of life that flows from that.
Now, which can happen two ways, and you mentioned this on Sunday, it could be taking what's essential in the Christian faith, Christian doctrine and Christian practice, and taking it to a non-essential realm, and then also taking something that's non-essential and bringing it into that realm of essential.
Yeah, that's a good. All right, so good. So now the question is, so we've been saying, what if we've been acting like we agree on the essentials, but if we disagree on the non-essentials, what do we do with each other? That's kind of Romans 14.
Yeah,
you're asking the opposite question. Right. What if we don't agree on the essentials?
Right.
Oh, wow, that's tough, isn't it?
It is very tough.
That's where it gets even more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I would say. Several things. Number one, that shows us the importance of the Bible.
Yep.
Do we believe that the Scripture is the Word of God? Mm-hmm. The Bible is the Word of God. That God has chosen in His wisdom and in His sovereignty and in His mercy to reveal to us truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that He has done it in the writings of Scripture through the prophets and the apostles. We have to have the Bible, and we have to believe that the Bible is God's Word. If it's not, then we don't we won't agree, and we're not even sure that we need to, because we're not even sure there are essentials. So we have to start with the Bible. So the first thing I would say is start with the Bible and read it. What do you think about it? It's God's word, and then read it and study it, and really, really listen to the language of the Bible. Another thing I would say, along with that, studying the Bible, is to pay attention to the way the Bible has been interpreted and understood throughout history.
Okay.
From the beginning. Now, we've got to be careful on this, okay? Because as evangelicals, we don't think it's Scripture plus tradition.
Right, yeah.
That guides us. We it's Scripture. But throughout history, there have been times when the teaching of the Bible has been disputed, mm-hmm. and there have the church has met and discussed and gone through debates and has come to the settled conclusion that this is what the church or what the Bible teaches, and this is what we call orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to pay attention to that, and not assume that we can just make it up today. You know,
right.
That we're going to come up with some new and novel interpretations today. Mm-hmm. So it'd be helpful if we would learn how to study the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and then if we would pay attention to the way it has been interpreted.
Okay.
One more thing I'll say about that is because sometimes the Bible has not been interpreted correctly in history,
right.
And thank the Lord that there have been corrections.
Yes.
So let's take we believe the Protestant Reformation was a correction.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a reinterpretation.
Yeah.
It was a proper interpretation.
Yep.
It was a going back to the Apostle Paul himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a clear distinction that we need to make. Then a third thing I think, so the Bible and an understanding of the history of interpreting the Bible, and then I think also just being honest.
Yeah.
We just need to be honest and to not do reinterpreting of the Bible to fit our own desires and to fit our own needs and to fit our own prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to come to the Bible with our minds made up about something or wanting to believe something is true.
Yeah.
And then trying to figure out a way to get the Bible to say what we want it to say.
Hmm.
We just need to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to be honest enough to say that we don't believe the Bible rather than be dishonest mm-hmm. by saying that we want the Bible to say something so badly that we are willing to unfaithfully
right.
Interpret it
yeah.
to fit our desires and our needs.
Yeah.
Honesty is just really important.
Yeah.
And I think if we'll do that, then we will be able to say, okay, this is what is essential.
Yeah.
And this is what is an issue of conscience.
Right.
That isn't required for salvation.
Yeah.
Or you know, faithful obedience for all people of all times.
Yeah.
If we'll be honest about that, I think we'll be able to avoid this trap of saying that what we know to be essential in the Bible, no, that's not essential.
Yeah.
And what we know to be non-essential as, no, it is essential.
Yeah.
If we'll study well and be honest about it and have the help of each other, not just the help of church history, but the help of faithful Bible teachers and the help of the church. Each other in discipleship.
Yeah, I like that you said that, Scott, the help of each other, because I think that means we have to be willing. Well, first, in honesty, we have to be willing to be humble to submit to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We can't approach it in pride or we're never going to get there.
Yeah.
But I think each other too, because Scott, I think it allows us to say we're going to enter into good conversations mm-hmm. and really ask people, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
With real honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just to say, hey, here's a question, but really yeah. to say, I want to know what you think, and maybe that can help me
mm-hmm.
rethink yeah. what I'm thinking,
yeah.
confirm what I'm thinking, mm-hmm. or, you know, yeah. I think that's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is, and another thing I'll say, though, Justin, so is that we know by reading the Bible itself mm-hmm. that there is always going to be a turning away from the faith. What I mean by the faith is the content, the theological, biblical, scriptural content of the Christian faith. There's always going to be a turning away
yeah.
from
yeah.
that. And we are experiencing it,
mm-hmm.
and the church always has.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you read the New Testament letters, you know, a lot of them are addressing that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the apostles are warning against false teachers.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to be prepared to not agree over what's essential, and therefore to not be able to be in fellowship with some people as Christians and in congregations. Yeah. And that's a sad, hard truth.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, right now, there are people who want, who say they want to, that they believe the Bible, that they want to be Christians, but they have so reinterpreted the Bible that they have come to the conclusion that the way of salvation is not by grace through faith in Christ alone.
Yeah.
That's a formula statement that's that means a whole lot.
Right.
And there are people who've just reinterpreted that to say that's not what we believe. But they claim to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And we see that happening in numerous areas, particularly in our day. We see it happening in sexual ethics, in marriage, gender issues, issues of homosexuality, same-sex issues. It's happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reinterpretation of things.
Yeah.
And you know, we're gonna have to be prepared that we're not gonna be able to agree on the essentials with all people. It's gonna be tough.
Good. Well, that's helpful. So let me follow this up with another question. So that helps us in this, what happens when we don't agree on the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to carry us forward from the conversation we had last week. So let's say, Scott, we do agree on the essentials.
Mm-hmm.
We have conversations with people, and we've done the considerations. We've approached people, but we walk away going, but we still disagree on whatever issue.
The non-essentials. Yeah.
And there's that tension, and there's that awkwardness.
Yeah.
How do we move forward in that tension, in that awkwardness, faithfully, so that we can have a healthy congregation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one thing I would say, even if I could backtrack a little bit, one thing I would say that we need to deal with is the awkwardness of not agreeing on the essentials.
Yeah.
That's awkward too. That's hard too.
Yeah.
There's tension there too.
Right.
Because we might actually love people who have come to the decision that they just don't agree with the essential biblical teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know, we would hope that we can still talk, that we can still relate in a way that would show respect, but also call for a return to the Bible's teaching, especially if someone's going to continue to claim to be a Christian.
Right.
We would call them. So there's a grieving and a gentleness and a calling, but a real firmness too on what the truth is. So respect for people. So that I just want to go back to that.
Yeah.
And
there's still tension there.
Apply it there too. But now let's kind of change directions now and talk about in the congregation, what if we disagree over non-essentials,
right?
And living with that tension and that awkwardness. Well, Romans 15 is very helpful there,
okay,
because it starts out by giving us some exhortations, not just to live to please ourselves, but to please our neighbor, to serve one another, and to bear with the weak.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what Jesus did. Now, we made a clear distinction on Sunday. We can't die for someone's salvation. We don't do anything savingly for people. But we can follow Christ in our pleasing each other in the congregation and not being people pleasers. You know the difference between those two things. But serving one another and bearing with the weak. So we need to do that. We need to be prepared when we don't agree with one another on a non-essential issue, but we're in their presence and we're having conversations. How can we just make sure that we're serving them, that we're even accommodating to some degree, if possible, that we're bearing with, that we're not putting them in awkward situations?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of this is just wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, what to say and not to say in certain contexts. If you know that what you are about to say is going to poke at somebody or get an argument started over a non-essential, just have the social maturity enough to not say it.
Right.
And just, you don't have to say everything, you know. Freedom of speech doesn't, it means you're free to say it. Doesn't mean you have to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we need some wisdom, some care for each other, consideration of each other, social maturity, watching our language. And I mean, like, I'm not talking about like cursing. I'm talking about just... You know, how do we speak about issues?
Yeah.
You can just hear it, can't you? Somebody believes one thing about a non-essential and somebody believes something else. And one person just starts, you know, talking about those who believe opposite from them as if they don't have a brain or, you know, they're blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, oh, don't do that. There's not so unnecessary.
That's good.
So just having some social wisdom. But I think, and I think entering with love.
Yeah.
And then I think probably the biggest thing I would say is if we have a higher purpose, those things fade away. You know, I'm gonna mention somebody here, but I haven't read all the book, so this is probably But I will say that I picked up a little bit of language from Tony Evans. He's got a there's a book that I have, and I'm gonna get into it more. But I just got it not long ago, and so. But he, one of the things he says about differences, cultural and racial differences, he says one thing that really helps is if you'll serve together.
Yeah.
If you'll get a higher purpose and serve together, it's a way of bringing unity.
Yeah.
So if I could take that principle, he's talking about in a racial context, if I could take that principle and just put it in the context of over the non-essentials, if we understand we have a higher purpose, we have a greater mission, and we're going to serve Christ together as a local congregation in our community, that would be something that would help lessen the awkwardness and the tension that we might share over the not agreeing over non-essentials.
That's good. That's good. Well, very helpful. I'm going to ask maybe one little quick question here, maybe give you a few minutes here. But what, is there anything as you think about, as we kind of end our discussion on dealing with differences, you think about Grace Community Church, people that are in our congregation walking together, maybe among differences, among the non-essentials, any last word of encouragement as, you know, being a pastor of this church for almost 30 years, you know, what would you say?
Well, first, I'll say two things. Number one is I would say go back and listen to Sunday sermon. we pulled out 8 points. It's kind of teasing about how many of them there were. But, you know, just thinking biblically about these issues related to essentials and non-essentials and how do we treat one another. But I think the other thing that I would say that maybe I haven't said so far is I've never, I think, Justin, in the history of my pastoral ministry, I've never sensed the importance of people understanding that the congregation has is to be a priority. The congregation. It's purity, it's unity, it's soundness in truth. It's love and it's witness. When I read Romans 14 and 15 on these issues, and when I have, as we have gone through the last year, so much of the last year has been about what individual Christians think and feel. So much of Romans 14 is about living together as a congregation. So I would say that my biggest heart, my biggest desire out of this year and out of preaching through Romans 14 and 15 the past few weeks is that we as Christians, as members of Grace Community Church, would get more of the congregational life that we are being called to. I don't mean by that. You know, there's this whole debate about, you know, you know, people say Americans are so individualistic. Well, not just Americans. That's not an American thing. That's a human thing. And there's some good to that. You got to take responsibility for yourself. So I'm not really into that debate right now. That's not really what, not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm saying as a Christian, understanding that God has a purpose for local congregations. And that we, I would want us to see ourselves, not denying our individual calling as a Christian and our individual responsibility before God and our ability to follow our Bible-shaped conscience. But at the same time, can't we come, I would want us to come further into the congregational nature of our calling. Because that's what Romans 14 and 15 is about. It's about the church living together for the glory of God. Man, when that's my goal, it just changes things. It changes things. And so that would be my heart, is the people of Grace would maybe use these months ahead as the opportunity to re-enter, re-engage, recommit to the local congregation of Grace Community Church for the glory of God and learn to seek His glory and love each other.
Great. Well, thank you, Scott. It's been great the weeks we've spent dealing with this issue, and even as we've walked through the book of Romans, and hopefully it's been helpful for us as disciples, as followers of Jesus, and we'll continue on even in the midst of differences.
Great.
Thanks.